Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman here, as always, with my colleague, Mike Morial. Mike, let's talk about the most important thing that happened, that people that think that people everywhere want to know. What kind of coffee are you drinking?
I got a regular this morning, Adam, because I was, still trying to, after what happened last night with the lottery, seeing that the Rangers get the number one pick and how the teams follow through, 9 through 15. Woke up this morning, had to kind of digest everything, let it marinate in the brain a little bit, and had a cup of Dunkin' Original, and then I had a cup this afternoon as well. So two cups today of regular coffee just to get me, just to give me enough to get on this podcast and get through it here.
All right, so your gears are lubricated. Let's talk about the New York Rangers winning the second phase of the draft lottery last night. Eight teams went in the bucket, all had an equal chance. The New York Rangers had their ball bounced to the top. It's hard to say it's a surprise because everybody had equal shots, but what does this mean for the Rangers? And I know Jeff Gorton got into it a little bit last night with their rebuilding effort, and now, since they sent that letter out to the fans, they won the lottery to move up to number two last year to Capo Caco. Now they win it again this year. This has to put their rebuilding into huge fast forward, don't you think?
Yeah, no doubt about it, Adam, right? I mean, you look at what the Rangers have as far as players there, age 23 and under. You got Capo Caco, who they took number two last year. He's number 19. Phil Pietl is still 20 years old. It's almost like Pietl to me is, you hear his name so often, it's almost like he's been in the league for 5 years already. And, Adam Fox, 22 years old, Brett Howden, 22, Ryan Lindgren, 22. So the Rangers have a real good quality, not only in the pipeline, but these young players that they have on the roster already that David Quinn can kind of, build around with that veteran core that they have at his disposal. And to bring a player that we think might be Alexis Lafreniere will be quite it'll be a benefit for that organization. No doubt about it, Lafreniere is going to play in a top six role. I know there's been some talk, Adam, and we'll probably get into this a little bit. Jeff Gorton, the general manager for the Rangers, didn't really tip his cap, to where he was going to go with this number one pick. Obviously, they want to make it suspenseful, I guess, when the draft comes around October 9, 10. But for the most part, don't you agree that, you have the number one pick in the draft? You've got to take, and I actually asked this question, but you have to take the best player available, or else you'll be kicking yourself when Lafreniere is, scoring the hat trick against your club, 2 years from now.
Without a doubt, if you have that number one pick, you take the best player available, regardless of position. And to me, and I think you're in agreement here, Alexis Lafreniere is the best player available in this year's draft. And I know the Rangers are pretty set at left wing with Artemi Panarin and Chris Kreider, but look, isn't too much offensive talent, isn't too much offensive depth a nice problem to have? I mean,
yeah.
And it allows Lafreniere to develop at his own pace. Look, yes, he's 18. Yes, we think he's going to step into a major role. Yes, we think he's going to be a pretty good player right out of the box at 18 and get better as he goes. But he still is just 18, and he's going to need a little time to get used to the NHL. The fact that he's going to be sheltered a little bit by two all-star caliber players certainly is only going to help him. To me, yes, the Rangers have other needs. Yes, they certainly need a center. But the number one pick in the draft, you take the best player available, and without a doubt, the consensus is the best player available is Alexis Lafreniere. You can find a center somewhere else, free agency, a different spot in the draft, a trade, whatever. You have this number one pick. It has been gifted to you. You take the best player available, and you don't think twice about it.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, there are options here for the Rangers with this pick, right? I mean, you get number one, you're able to get the best player in the draft, by far the best player in the draft, I might add. And, there are options. And by options, I mean maybe a trade, maybe a free agent move that you're able to do to get that number two center behind Zibanejad. So, look, and the one other thing I'd say about this is, when you look at the frame of Alexis Lafreniere, with the size and the strength that he plays the game with, not only is he talented and can score the goals and is that playmaker that every team craves. But, you know, he's got that relentlessness and that willingness to play a hard game, right, Adam? He finishes checks. I mean, he battles. And that's going to bode well for him in the Eastern Conference, I think, particularly in the Metropolitan Division. You need players that type of caliber, that type of strength that are able to do that. And because it is a tough and rough division, and we've seen that. And we've seen so many teams out of the division, you know, making the Stanley Cup playoffs each and every season. So I really do. And I know, look, I respect Jeff Gordon and trying to make this as suspenseful as he possibly can for the NHL. But, you know, I got to say, I mean, Alexis Lafreniere is the class of the 2020 draft. And I would imagine him, you know, going with Alexi. I know we're not going to go up to the podium this year, but I would expect that announcement to be made first round, first pick, October 9th.
Look, Jeff Gordon's not stupid. He's not going to tip his hand and say, you know, we can sit here and say, yes, it's obvious to take Lafreniere. But hey, look, he says, oh, I don't know. We're thinking about it. Somebody could knock his socks off with a trade. Look, Pittsburgh could say, hey, we'll offer you Crosby for the number one pick or something ridiculous like that. Why would he tip his hand now? You know, you sit back, you're smart, you wait. But I think at the end of the day, Lafreniere is the guy. And if you're the New York Rangers, you take the best guy. So I think, you know, whatever Jeff Gordon said last night, I think come October 9th, if they don't call Alexis Lafreniere's name, I would be stunned.
And what an opportunity, too. I'm sorry. Like, what an opportunity, too, real quick here for Rangers fans, right? A team that was just swept by the Carolina Hurricanes in their best-of-five qualifier. And as a, you know, as a consolation prize, you get the number one pick in the draft. So I just had to add that there because, you know, after all the heartache and you see the tweets and how disappointed Ranger fans were, and then you see this lottery and the Rangers ping pong ball is selected out of the machine. I mean, it's quite a day for Rangers fans, no doubt about it.
First out of the bubble, first now in the lottery. So it's a good place to be. So, you know, let's look at the rest of the draft because the second phase of the lottery didn't just establish number one. It slotted in who's going to be 9 through 15. So if you go to NHL.com, myself and Mike and Guillaume Lepage, our colleague at LNOSH.com, we have our latest mock draft up. But let's take a look through it now. And let's start with number 9, the Minnesota Wild. They're going to have the number 9 pick. Mike, you went with Anton Lundell there. Defend yourself. What's your reasoning behind taking Anton, thinking the Wild will take Anton Lundell there, the Finnish center?
Well, I do think that, you know, the Wild right now, I mean, boy, and when we did our roundtable, right, Adam, the Minnesota Wild was a team that I felt as though was one that could really use an Alexis Lafreniere in their, you know, with their team, their program there, and what they're trying to build under Billy Guerin. But to me, the Wild need young talent up front. They need young talent down the middle of the ice. Yeah, they can use some depth on the blue line, you know, due to the age of their back end core there. But Anton Lundell, to me, a two-way center, left shot, you know, can protect the puck really well, finds teammates. I think he would make an exceptional addition to the Wild and their franchise moving forward. Obviously, Lundell could be, you know, he could be NHL ready. I know we spoke to him on NHL draft class previously, and he did say, you know, he's striving to see what he can do and possibly surprising training camp and maybe stick with the team, at least for that 9-game trial next season. So we'll see. But he did well. I mean, in the Finnish league, 28 points, 10 goals, 162 shots on goal in 44 games, averaged a little over 15 and a half minutes. I like what, you know, where Lundell could fit here in this Minnesota Wild team. And I know, Adam, you went with the goaltender, though, which is also an intriguing option for the Wild.
I did, but I want to touch back on something you said when you were talking about Lundell, and you mentioned the roundtable that we did. And I remember someone said the best fit for Lafreniere would be the New York Rangers. Do you remember which one of us said that?
Well, let me ask, what was the roundtable about, Adam? Was it trying to select or predict who was going to get the number one pick, or was it where Lafreniere would best benefit, which team he would best benefit? So,
that's not what I asked you.
And another thing I'd like to add on that is you went wishy-washy anyway. You were 50-50. You went Rangers, and then you went Edmonton. So
I did, but I did say that. I did say the New York Rangers, but let's get back to the Minnesota Wild. And, you know, you mentioned that they do need forwards up front. And Billy Guerin, the Wild general manager, talked to Minnesota media yesterday, and he said improvements are needed at goaltender. You know, Alex Daylock and Devan Dubnyk really didn't get the job done for them this season. I think Yaroslav Askarov, obviously not next season, but within 2-3 years, he could be a franchise goalie for them. And I'm pretty sure he's going to still be available, that number 9 spot. I think Askarov would be a perfect fit for Minnesota. I know they have Kaapo Kähkönen, the young Finnish goalie who had a little bit of a run with them during the season. He played 5 games. But I think you can get a guy the caliber of Askarov. He's big. He's strong. He's a winner. Played 6 tournaments the last 3 years. Come home with 6 medals, including a silver at the World Juniors in 2020. He's got the size. He's got the strength in the crease, the quickness, the way he reads the plays. He has the look of being a franchise goalie. And if I'm the Wild, I know they have other needs, but if you can solve that issue in goal with Askarov and plug him in for 10, 12 years, because that's what his upside is, I think that's a pick you have to make.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. I'm not gonna argue with that. I mean, if that's the direction the Wild feel they need to go, and Askarov is certainly in that range. We've been saying this all along, right? Somewhere in that 9 to 15 range, we would expect him to go. I could see the Wild making that pick. I just think they, you know, with the caliber of talent in this draft, I don't think you can go wrong in this spot with some of these players that we have in our mock draft. I think they're all interchangeable, as we've said. So that's why I just like the centerman. I think the Wild can definitely use a centerman, a big-sized kid, and I think Anton Lundell fits that bill. I had Askarov, you know, in our mock drafts, Adam, going to the Hurricanes. I don't know if he's going to last that long at 13, but as I said, I mean, there's a lot of talent in this draft. So maybe in certain positions, these teams will be able to pick and choose who they want. Maybe not go best available, but go positionally, because – some of these players are very interchangeable.
Yeah, the skill sets are equal. And when you have skill sets that are equal, I think it's okay to take a position of need. And that brings us to the Winnipeg Jets at number 10. And we're in agreement. Jake Sanderson, the defenseman from the U.S. national team program, should be the guy here. And, you know, you watch the Jets this season, their biggest weakness was on defense. Dustin Byfuglien left. Jacob Trouba got traded. Tyler Myers left in free agency. They had some huge holes on that blue line that, yes, they were able to patch them up. Neil Pionk had a nice season, and Josh Morrissey is their number one guy. But they need some help on the blue line. You know, Dylan Sandberg's close to being ready. Ville Heinola, their first-round pick last year, started the season with them, didn't look out of place, and I'm sure he'll get a shot to make the team next season. But if you can add a guy the caliber of Jake Sanderson, you know, that's a really nice skill pick, need pick, a guy who fills a lot of spots for you.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You mentioned a lot of good reasons there, Adam, on why they should go D. And again, we don't want to make it, you know, a positional need for these teams this high in the draft, but you can do it. And in this case, you know, all of us were in agreement that Jake Sanderson would be a great fit here for the Jets. And he'd fit in well too. He's going to the University of North Dakota, so he'll be with a good program there, beginning next season. And the Jets do have some quality defensemen within their system. You know, you look at Ville Heinola. You know, he played a few games. He spent some time with the Jets this year. I thought did a real nice job. And Dylan Sandberg is in their pipeline as well. From Minnesota Duluth, a defenseman there, big size kid at 6'4", 216. So if you can add a player or get a player of Jake Sanderson's ability, who I believe will be the first U.S.-born player off the board and the first player from the National Team Development Program this year, I think you do it. And in this case, the Winnipeg Jets seem to be that player, the team that would select Jake Sanderson. So I like him going to the Jets. I think it'd be a great fit there. And then at number 11, Adam, the Nashville Predators. Looks like you had a familiar name there at with Anton Lundell going to Nashville.
Yeah, Mike, I like Lundell for a lot of the reasons you like him. You know, he looks like he's NHL ready. He's got the size. He's got the two-way skill set. And look, Nashville already has Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene through the middle. You add a guy like Anton Lundell there, that gives you outstanding depth I think to me, if he's still there for them, I think that's a great pick for Nashville. Now, you went with Jack Quinn there.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, just what you said a little bit, you know, Nashville does need that skill and point production up front. And to me, they need those big bodied wingers, Adam, you know, that play with an edge. I think Jack Quinn fits that bill. You mentioned the centerman they had there, you know, the Ryan Johansons, the Matt Duchesnes, they'd be looking for skilled wingers to play with. And, you know, Quinn at 6 foot, 176 pounds, the point production he put up with 52 goals and 89 points in 62 games this year with Ottawa, exceptional. And rarely did he play on a line, you know, with Marco Rossi, who, you know, led the entire Canadian Hockey League with the amount of points that he put up this year. So I like Jack Quinn going to Nashville if he's there. I think number 11 would be a great spot for him. He's done a lot this year for the 67s, of course, and I think he'd do a lot sometime down the road for the Nashville Predators. So I like Quinn going to Nashville. And number 12 on the docket was the Florida Panthers. And it looks like we were kind of calling it the same way. At least you and I were, Adam.
Yeah, Caden Gooley, the defenseman from Prince Albert. I think Florida really needs some depth on defense. They really need some help on the back end. And Gooley's a guy who can fit that bill for them. 6'2", 186. He plays that grinding physical style, but he can skate. He's an excellent skater. His offensive game is getting better. It took a big step this season, but I think he's got room to grow. To me, Caden Gooley would be an excellent addition to Florida. You know, they've already got Ekblad and Matheson there. They're kind of entering the primes of their career. 2 years from now, you can add Caden Gooley to that group. That's going to give them excellent depth. And Gooley's the kind of guy who could eventually run a power play, but he's also going to be strong enough to play against NHL size opposing forwards sooner rather than later. I think he'd be an outstanding value pick for Florida in that spot.
No doubt about it. They need mobile puck movers on the back end, someone that's going to transition well, someone hard to play against. That's 6'2", 186 pounds. I think Caden Gooley fits that bill very well. And not a lot of prospects in the pipeline that are defensemen for Florida, Adam, of course. You know, you look at their forward group, you know, in the pipeline, Grigory Denisenko, obviously Spencer Knight, the goaltender they took last year in the first round, exceptional pick, and he's making his way up the ranks from Boston College. You know, Owen Tippett's in that mark, and Alexei Hepipiniani. Played with Springfield, actually, in the American Hockey League this year. So not a lot of defensive depth in the pipeline. So getting a player of Caden Gooley's status would certainly bode well for the Panthers.
Now, at number 13, we talked about your pick, Yaroslav Askarov. Mike, mine was Jack Quinn. And, you know, I like you look at the Carolina Young Forwards. We watched them against the Rangers. They just attacked in waves. And they have so many of them. But you get a guy with Jack Quinn's ability, and you talked about some of his better attributes, but when we talked to him on NHL draft class, you know, a while back, he said he feels his skating got better as the season went on. And as he gets with an NHL team, gets pro level strength training, pro level skating training, he's going to be even better and stronger and better equipped to play along the walls, play in the NHL. I know they have young guys, but if you can add another one, again, much like what we said with Lafreniere to the Rangers, too much offensive depth is a really good problem to have. So, and Carolina, just to point out, if anybody's wondering, this pick originally belonged to the Maple Leafs. Carolina has it from the Patrick Marleau trade. So Patrick Marleau never played a game for the Hurricanes, but he certainly paid them some dividends by getting them a lottery pick.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great pick if Quinn, you know, is available there, no doubt about it. But I do like Askarov here if he's available for Carolina, because I'm just not sold on the goaltending situation in Carolina. It's kind of, I guess it's somewhat similar to what you mentioned earlier about the Wild as well, Adam. But you know, as far as Carolina's goaltender, you know, someone to handle that huge workload, maybe 40 plus games. You know, Mrazek has done well for Carolina. But I think they need someone in the pipeline that's going to grow a little bit. Maybe 2 to 3 years, they'll have a number one for the next 10 years in Carolina. Carolina plays so well defensively. They got, you know, some of the best defensive systems and pairs in the league. And we're seeing that in the playoffs as well. So if they're able to get that number one goalie, that legitimate number one goalie in there, and I think Askarov could be that guy, and maybe, 3 years down the road, I think that would be, a real big, really big push for Carolina and making their run for a Stanley Cup championship, no doubt.
See, I think they have that number one already. I like Alex Nedeljkovic. I've liked him since his draft year. I think he is that. I think he could be that number one guy for them. Why it hasn't happened yet, I don't know. But I think, to me, Askarov, listen, if he's there, Carolina's going to take him. But I think they're set with a goalie right now in Nedeljkovic whenever they want to move him up to the full-time NHL job. But let's look at number 14, another spot where we were in agreement here, the Edmonton Oilers. Seth Jarvis, the center from the Portland Winterhawks. Mike, why do you think Jarvis is the guy here for Edmonton?
Well, I think the Oilers need, they got some very smart forwards, guys that are capable of getting a job done. But I think, forwards that can play with smarts and can play with the McDavids and the Draisaitls of the world, they could use some depth on the back ends on both sides. Don't do that about it. Maybe some heavy wingers that can play in tough physical situations, because it is a tough division. But Seth Jarvis, to me, the centerman from Portland, real smart guy, skilled, right-hand shot. He executes, action out there with a lot of pace, and he's a real good penalty killer. And I think Edmonton, they need some good penalty killers out there. I think Jarvis fits the bill for that. He goes about 5'10", 175, so he's got some decent size. And, he finished second in the dub with 98 points, 42 goals this year in 58 games. So I think, I think Seth Jarvis would be a nice landing spot for the Edmonton Oilers here.
So let's look at Jarvis's speed as a right-hand shot with a left-handed center in McDavid. Those two guys blazing into the offensive zone. If you're a defenseman, that's going to cause nightmares for you, because here comes McDavid drawing everybody in, and he can slide that forehand pass to Jarvis for a one-timer. Like you said, the guy scored 42 goals in 58 games, so he knows how to finish. That's a scary thought. So whether Jarvis plays in the middle or plays on the wing, I think he fits everything Edmonton needs. Smart, skilled, fast, a right shot. Yeah, I think that he's a great addition. He would be a great addition for them in that spot. And then number 15, again, another spot we are in agreement. Braden Schneider, defenseman from the Brandon Wheat Kings. To me, Pittsburgh needs some help on defense. They're an older team. They're an aging team. We heard Sidney Crosby say maybe the championship window is starting to close a little bit. Some of that is because, they don't have the horses on defense that they used to. Chris Letang is 33. Brian Dumoulin is 30 or 31. They're not deep at the position. John Marino did a nice job as a rookie this season, but they're not deep at the NHL level. They don't have much as far as a prospect base goes. Pierre-Olivier Joseph, who they got from Arizona in the Phil Kessel trade, probably is their best prospect defenseman now. But you can add a guy like Schneider, 6'2", 202 pounds. He likes to play that physical style, but he's got an offensive upside. To me, he's the best defenseman available in that spot. So if Pittsburgh hangs on to this pick, and that is an if, because they have 7 days from the lottery to decide if they're going to send it to Minnesota as part of the Jason Zucker trade, we'll know, I guess, in a few days if they're going to keep that pick. If they do, Braden Schneider is the perfect pick for them.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the money there, Adam, with Pittsburgh needs mobile puck movers on the back end to replace these aging vets. There's no doubt about it. I think Braden Schneider is that player who – at this point in the draft, I think he is the next best defenseman. Caden Gooley is up there. Braden Schneider, I know two players, that when we spoke to John Williams, who does so much good work for NHL Central Scouting in the WHL, he told us these were the two guys, Schneider and Gooley that, were going head to head, and the debate and the discussion that went on with these two was very intriguing and interesting, but Schneider is right there. So, Schneider to me could go anywhere in this 10 to 15 range. And I think if the Penguins are able to solidify this pick and get that number 15 spot, I think he'd make a great addition. He's had some NHL comparisons to, Darnell Nurse in some realms. And, he's a more physically developed player, plays that heavy game, always seems to be in the right spot. A guy who has a presence and a will to stick up for his teammates. That's something that you know, the coaching staff and managerial team love to see in a player. But he also has that, you know, the solid puck skills to move it quickly, and he's a good complementary defenseman. So I like Schneider in this spot. You know, he won a gold medal with Canada at the 2018 Olympics, so he's got a lot of good international experience. Is a leader out there on the ice, and you mentioned his size, Adam, which is very good for a right shot guy, 6'2", 202. So obviously Braden Schneider, I think, would do the Penguins well in this spot if they are able to get him.
Yeah, and it's hard to believe that it's 2012 was the last time the Penguins used a first round pick on a defenseman when they took Derek Pouliot and Olli Maatta. Obviously, neither one of them is with the organization anymore. So to me, yeah, if I'm the Penguins, I'm looking if I'm keeping that pick, I'm looking best defenseman available, and Schneider is that guy.
No doubt about it. Yep.
Now, if you want to see more details on our mock draft, you can go to NHL.com. It's right there. You can follow us on Twitter and let us know which of us is the smartest one. I'm NHL Adam K. Mike, you know, you can find him. But that's going to do it for this edition of NHL Draft Class. Mike, we got more fun stuff to come with the draft coming up now, October 9th and 10th. You mentioned it earlier. It's going to be virtual, but we have a date. We have something we can build towards.
Yeah, absolutely. Pick 16 to 31, by the way, be determined by the results of the Stanley Cup playoffs. So obviously we're looking forward to that, Adam. And, you know, draft coming up October 9, 10. In the meantime, we'll be keeping a close watch on these select camps, these development camps for the U20 teams for various countries, which are taking place later this month and early September. But, you know, obviously we'll get into the World Juniors as we move closer, you know, to that in December. So a lot to look forward to right now. We got the NHL playoffs in full swing. Obviously, we'll be keeping close tabs on these players that are upcoming for the NHL draft. So we're gearing up for a lot of things here. But it's nice to finally have the number one pick out of the way, knowing who that team will be. All right, Adam?
Absolutely. The New York Rangers with the number one pick. And if you want to learn more about the NHL draft, you can start studying by listening to some of our previous episodes on NHL Draft Class. We interviewed a lot of the top prospects, got great input from a lot of the top scouts. So subscribe, download, it's free anywhere you get your podcast, Apple, Spotify, any place you enjoy your shows, you can listen to it. But as of for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.